Hello and welcome back, First Class fans. As always, it is that time. We are talking all things FCL. I am the Elk, and I'm joined by some very special guests today to talk all the things going on in the movie trivia world. And what are we talking about today? Well, the time long ago, the galaxy far, far away. That's right, Star Wars is on the menu for this week's FCL. We've got not just a match, but a title match coming your way. Sonny Olsen and JC Riefenberg facing off for the Star Wars title. Unfortunately, our second match canceled today, so we're going to be going all in on the Star Wars. We're going to be exploring the depth and the breadth of the entire Star Wars galaxy. And in order to do that, we need a guest host, Isley, with the most Isley. That's right, we're going to bring in Ross from CB, my notes just say nowhere. You should do better research. Ross from Nowhere joining us. We will be talking all things that happened this week in the FCL. First Class fans, all you thirsty firsties out there, welcome back once again to This Week in the FCL. As always, I am the Elk. I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, that's right, the here, Keith Kilduff. Keith, how are you?
All good. Happy to be back. Happy to be here. Star Wars title match, a lot to break down. Five rounds. Let's just get into this.
And, of course, our super producer, the man who makes it all happen, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It is CB Chris Barnes. Hello, Chris. Welcome once again.
Hello, Andrew. How are you? I'm just excited it's Star Wars week again because, you know, I love my Star Wars.
Everybody loves a little bit of Star Wars. Lots of good stuff out there for anyone to watch. But this next man might love Star Wars a little bit more than everybody else on the call. You fans, you've been listening to me for a while. You know, I love nothing more than kissing up to the competitors. So welcome a wonderful competitor, a Star Wars guru, if you will. And live from, that's right, the MTS is the den. It is Ross from Nowhere. Ross, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on again, guys. Great to be here.
Well, we love to have you on always, Ross, of course. And here on This Week in the FCL, fans, you know how it works. We're going to break down all the match action. And this week, that means we're going to talk again for probably less than a minute about a rematch or a rewatch of a match, quite literally, with Saflirt and Flouse taking on the Warfather as a fill-in match. Sorry to hear about those scheduling issues between Fred Klein, Brennan Marr, and the FCL. Hopefully, we'll see those competitors coming back real soon, and hope everything is going well. And also, we're going to break down all of the news that happened. In addition to that Star Wars title match, we have a few things that we want to talk about this week. Let's start off with a slightly somber note and some well wishes. I'm sure that if I speak for everyone from this week in the FCL, and Ross, I'm sure you as well would agree, we are sending our warmest wishes and our thoughts and our prayers out to James Shimo's father, who has unfortunately suffered a heart attack. He is in the hospital. We are hoping for a swift recovery for James Shimo's father and for, of course, James Shimo and his entire family. We hope you are well. We hope good things are coming your way and that you are able to weather this storm all the way through. Sinister though you may be, you've got friends in the community. Best to you and to your entire family, particularly your father, James Shimo.
Absolutely.
I agree.
And on that note, let's move on to the actual action. Let's talk about a few things. First and foremost, we have a little bit of news that, Ross, you might be familiar with as a graduate to the MTS. You are probably paying attention to your fellows who've made their way up with you. One in particular, and you know who I'm talking about. That's right. In the MTS, Chaos Theory went up against Pop Quiz. It's the debut of, not the spoiler, but Nick Harley of the FCL. That's right. The man who I will insist on calling the very first FCL champion, despite what anyone says about Flirt and Flouse, who is still a rightful champion. I will leave that there as well. But Nick Harley taking on with Jacoby Bancroft, his new partner, the team of Jen Kemp and Vinny Mancuso. And from the first week in the FCL, we have some opinions on this match. Let's talk about it. What did we think of the match and the outcome? Ross, you're in the MTS. You were watching Nick Harley go at his opponents here, I'm sure. What did you think of this one?
An impressive start for his MTS career. And just an impressive match all around. Everybody in the game played well. Nick is somebody who really goes all in. But I think this is one of the, I mean, it was a great example just in the promo as to like, what's your specialty? Well, opponent's choice, basically, or what have you been given? I mean, so he has excelled in that particular area, and this match showed even further depth by kind of the questions being upped, and he in no way was carried by Jacoby. They seemed like a really solid team. And as a result, clearly, I mean, they came out the victors, and I think they've got a pretty solid future ahead. Now, we don't really know what the future of, well, any of the MTS will be next year, but if they somehow stay together through this next sort of nuke-like change, then it they could be a good team for a long time to come. I've spoken to Nick before, and I know that he was putting in a lot of effort on this one, and I think he's pretty happy to be with the Stars.
It is a great team, great squad. Obviously, I've been a fan of the Stars for a while, and it's nice to see Jacoby Bancroft also getting a little bit of luck. He's been bounced around a bit recently. Nice to see him settling into a place. I would like to see maybe a little more of the old mean Nick Harley coming out, but we have time for that one. Keith, what did you think of Chaos Theory versus Pop Quiz?
I mean, Slick Nick, as he's being called now, really came to play big time on his debut, got his perfect round. Seth and Jacoby, you know, they communicated beautifully between round two. Obviously, there was that miss on the trolls question, but it's something that they can learn on. But they had it just looked, Nick played like a veteran. And it was just, I think that just goes to show the benefit of the FCL, that like people know what to expect going into matches. And I just can't wait to see more of them, whether they be in the singles tournament or they represent the Stars in the teams tournament at the end of the year.
Well, three victorious matches in the FCL with opponent's choice for Nick Harley. Maybe he didn't need that practice, but it certainly didn't hurt. And you are right, Keith, he did look very good. CB, the very first graduate from the FCL to make their appearance, to take a win. In addition, in the MTS, what did you think of this matchup?
I think it was a great match. Haven't got much more to say that the Keith and Ross haven't said already. I think, you know, after seeing Nick in the FCL for his three matches, I had an inkling it was going to go this way. He just seems like it's not going to phase him just stepping up. And it's not like he's stepping up and it's now in studio. It's still kind of, you know, digital across things. He's not got that added thing there. So I'm just well impressed. I'm very happy for him. And long may it continue with him and Jacoby and maybe whatever else happens for Slick Nick in the future.
Well, Slick Rick, he knows the trick, and he's got some butts to kick in the MTS. Congratulations to you, Nick Harley, from everyone here at the First Class League this week in the FCL as well. I'm sure everybody is wishing you well and watching your career with a great deal of interest. I know I am, and I will continue to do so. And with that, congratulations out of the way. A little bit of talk about that match. We're going to talk about something else, and again, it's MTS related, I think. Just based on what is written down here on my document, CB, it sounds like we have a new segment on the show. Is that right? Should I just announce this as a brand new segment for us? Life in the Den with Ross. Interesting. I think that means, Ross, that what we're going to do is we're going to ask you a few questions about how it's been moving up to the MTS. Obviously, you don't need to share any strategy, any secrets that your opponents might want to know. But you also, as well as Nick Harley, have moved up, and you're making your way into the MTS. You're looking forward to getting that first win like he already had the chance to do. How has that been for you? Anything interesting? Anything that the fans you think might find of interest?
Of interest? I don't know. There's it's pretty fast moving. It's kind of crazy in the MTS in that regard, in terms of when matches are recorded, the preparation schedules, because you have so many people on a team. But just in general, joining the Den has been really great. They've been incredibly welcoming. Kate leads a very just kind of Den like, she has that very much a Den mother like quality, and it leads to a very warm team. It's not a stressful environment. It's not high pressure in that regard. Everybody knows that everybody's putting in the maximum effort they can, and everybody really contributes to helping one another wherever they possibly can, which is really great. And so it's been nice in that regard, kind of trying to get my feet wet, but also working well with kind of Lacey and Thomas too in the preparation there. We know Thomas will have a very big match coming up, TBD on who he's playing, but it'll be something that we've been doing a lot of prep for, and in that same process, getting some prep done on other Star Wars matches. But in terms of actual matches on the docket being scheduled, there's For myself, I don't have anything official, but there are, of course, some things in the works, as there always are. And that's the thing with the Schmodown. You always need to be ready and prepared. And I think that's something that you need also get a little experience with from the FCL, is you need to be able to come in with not too much notice. And I know the surprise with being kind of introduced with, oh, you're also going to get the TV shows in the FCL. That was a bit of a gunshot last minute, I remember then. And so that was my first kind of wake up, is, you got to be prepared for anything. And so that's kind of been my approach when entering the MTS and in the den, is be constantly prepared and be ready to do a quiz or a match or do a study session. And it's been a lot of fun.
Sounds like a lot of work, very tiring to me. And I'm sure that Keith and CB have some questions for you about the den and about the MTS. But before they get to it, I want to ask the most hard-hitting question of all, the one that all the fans have been waiting for the answer to for so long. What exactly, and Ross, you can answer me honestly here, what does Kate keep in that fanny pack? What is it? Is it the same thing that was in the briefcase in Pulp Fiction? Is it special brownies? Does she give you, like, is it one of those dog clickers so she can tell her competitors when they're not doing well? I don't know, and I want to know. Inquiring minds, Ross.
I don't think I can tell you. It's one of those kind of, like, 11 secret spices sort of thing. It's really what makes the den work. Thomas Harper, I mean, yeah, he's smart. I mean, like, Ben's smart. He's good at these multiple divisions. Same with Paul. But, I mean, they're nothing without what's in that fanny pack. We all are nothing without that fanny pack. That's all I'll say. That's all I'll say. It is, okay. It is truly magic dust.
All right. Well, with that, as I said, I'm sure Keith and CB have some questions. And real quick, I'm going to let them get some questions for you as well, anything that they might want to know. But since I know that both of my co-hosts are from across the pond over on the East, a fanny pack is a term in this part of the world for that little thing, you pouch you wear around your belt. It's not the other thing you're thinking of. I promise.
But we are a family show, so obviously we would know what a fanny pack is going into the show because the show notes. So we're aware, Andrew. But I suppose, Ross, I think the big thing from my kind of perspective, looking from the outside in, is that the Den is actually a great faction for you to join as a Star Wars player, because not only have you Thomas and Lacey as specific Star Wars competitors, but you've got Saul and Ben, who have their own level of knowledge in Star Wars due to them being IG players. And then you've also got Mark Riley, who has an extensive knowledge in Star Wars and podcasts down through the years. So, like, there's half a faction that you can lean on straight away to study with.
Yeah, and even beyond that, those who don't necessarily love Star Wars to maybe the same degree, or I shouldn't say, but obsess about Star Wars to the same degree, that can still contribute. Everybody on the faction does their best to be able to contribute in certain ways. And whether that's just asking questions that somebody else has made, or working through and kind of just being there to bounce off some of the basic ones, or doing cast listings. There's always ways in which you can do some form of assistance. And that's been really, really great in being able to work with other people. And then also wherever I can try and help out as well. It's maybe not as transferable, and certainly in the Star Wars grouping is where a lot of my studying occurs. But yeah, it's been phenomenal to be able to work with both Lacey and Thomas, because when you can watch something so many times, but you can never watch it with a new pair of eyes. And somebody else who's watched it that many times with a totally different set of eyes, they'll see something new for the first time, or they'll ask you, like, oh, did you know this? I just found this out today. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, of course, I've known that forever. Or you'll think about it, oh, my God, I've never known about that. I didn't even think about it. When it's with Thomas, it's usually the latter, where it's like, hey, did you hear about this thing? And I'm just like, no. Oh, my God, how did I not think about that for all these years? But that's what's really great. It's annoying when you get asked a question and you're like, oh my God, this is in the deep recesses of my mind. Where the fuck is the answer? Sorry, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to swear. This is a family show, so probably not the best. But that's generally the way it is. There is a lot of swearing in practice sessions because that's where the deepest of cuts come from. But it is those, like, really deep practice sessions that can really help, and you're able to just reflect back on those when you're in a match after. And so I'm looking forward to being able to use those bits of information to be in the future. I know there's some where it just seems inevitable that a question is going to arise from practice sessions. It's just a matter of time sort of question, not a, oh, I wonder if this could come up. It's a, oh, this will come up.
Well, that sounds fascinating. Sounds like a lot of Star Wars going around. And did you ever think when you were a kid, because I certainly didn't, that knowing things about Star Wars would be a cool thing, would be a useful thing in the future? No, you were just doing it for fun. Chris, I know you wanted to ask Ross a question as well.
Well, I did, but I think they've pretty much got all covered from the last two. That was really good. So I guess, and the one question I really wanted to know, I know Ross can't answer, and that is when is his first match and who is he going to be against? And he's already said he doesn't really know. So whether he doesn't really know or not, well, we'll have to wait and see. But no, I think that's pretty much it. I think we should move over now to the match breakdowns because I'm ready to start talking Star Wars with Ross and this title match.
All right. Well, your secret is safe with us, Ross. We promise. We'll ask you again after the show. You can tell us if it's not something you release on the air. That's fine. That being said, if we are going to get into the match breakdowns, I mean, Chris, I think you're jumping ahead. I want to talk about the first match we saw this week. I want to talk all about it. It might be a replay, but does this mean Zafirtan Flaus is once again the number one contender? Will he be facing himself for the title coming up soon? What's going on? The world's gone topsy-turvy. It's crazy. Match breakdowns coming up. And, of course, as always, those will be led by Keith Kilduff, our very own stats man. Keith?
Let's do this. FCL 17, unfortunately, could not have its undercard between Brennan Maher and Fred Klein. We hope to see that match very, very soon. And as such, a repeat of Warfather versus the Flirting Frouse from FCL 12 was done in its place. If you want to see that breakdown, please check out myself and Andrew with the Commissioner, Brad Gilmore. A couple of weeks ago, we broke that match down in full. We don't need to do it again. Let's get into the main event of FCL 17, JC Reifenberg. Sonny Olsen, Star Wars title, the refurbished old Schmodown Star Wars title on the line. Ross, I want to come to you first. Obviously, as you alluded to earlier, Thomas Harper is preparing not only for another five-rounder, but he's already been through one with Gold Leader. So you kind of have, I would hope, have a little bit of kind of insight in like how to prepare for a Star Wars five-rounder. I presume yourself and Thomas are going back and forth a lot.
Yeah, it's something that, I mean, I don't want to get into too any specifics or anything, but it's definitely different than a three rounder. Star Wars is interesting. And I mean, everything's getting to the point now where the betting round is, I mean, you pretty much bet three, unless it's a very specific situation, or depending on how conservative you want to play, but Star Wars is pretty damn hard to not bet three nowadays. Unless you're in real, well, no, pretty much it's pretty damn hard to not bet three. If you're down, you need to bet three. If you're up, you still need to keep your three. But beyond that, the speed round is something that is very different. And where will this next match be taking place? What type of speed round are we getting? I can't confirm even if. I can confirm that I don't know. I don't know if Thomas knows specifically yet, but and that's an important thing to keep in mind as well. But then there's also different types of questions that are asked in speed rounds too. And then Star Wars, just as you can see throughout this entire season and through last season, really there has been a tremendous change. You can almost see it from match to match on the difficulty of questions, the types of questions. And there's also, I believe, been some new writers as well. And so you're able to pick up on some different things too. But it's a different process. Just every match, it feels like, every time you have to kind of set up for, okay, this is the Star Wars plus from before. It seems like everything is just a little bit of a multiple of the one prior to.
So as we kick in, on our kind of preview last week, I know I had made the point that this kind of mirrored almost the singles title fight between Harley and Kofi, in that it was going to be kind of strategy against knowledge. And round one kind of turned up that way, JC getting the perfect round, upping his previous of seven against Adam Gertler, gets the perfect round, gets the eight, gets the bonus. Sonny missing this quotes question in Return of the Jedi, Han's response to Luke saying, "I used to live here, you know," the correct quote being, "You're going to die here, you know," Sonny saying, "And now you're going to die here." There was a little bit of back and forth. Brad wanted to kind of give him the point. Mm. It's been overruled. I think it's a fair kind of call that it's an incorrect question, or an incorrect answer. My apologies. if we're looking for a quote, we're looking for word for word at this stage. Yeah. But there's some interesting kind of, I want to say, surface level questions. Jabba's palace kind of comes up in Return of the Jedi. Jango Fett. What species is Watto? What predator kind of knocks Luke unconscious? Who plays the voice and motion capture of Jar Jar Binks? But all in all, 9-7. CB, what were your thoughts on round number one of this title fight?
I want to say, for actual Star Wars title match, I do think good portion of these questions were very surface level. You said surface level, very. I mean, it was a. I mean, I'm a Star Wars fan, but I don't remember most things. But all of these, I breezed through this round myself, you know. And to be fair, the only one I would have got wrong would have been the quote that Sonny got wrong himself as well. To be honest, I kind of knew the quote, but I'd have probably done the same thing as Sonny. I don't know, but wasn't planning on properly at the time. But one thing I want to say is, when it comes to that question, Brad gave JC the opportunity to challenge, which was obviously an incorrect answer, and JC said no. This is a Star Wars title match. What are you doing? If there's a chance, you should be challenging. You do it, you know, much like we'll get to in the third round it happened. And that's the one thing that really stood out to me. I think it was, you know, a lot of easy questions for these guys. Forget guys competing in Star Wars trivia. I thought this first round was pretty much a gimme for them. You know, maybe for the more casual fans, it might have been a bit trickier, but for these guys that do study for it, obviously, or JC just seems to have that knowledge ingrained from many, many years of being a Star Wars fan, it was a pretty easy first round. But JC just got, he's got to be more, obviously it didn't matter in the end because Sonny was wrong, but he's got to be more ruthless, especially in his title matches. If he's defending that title and there's a chance to challenge a question, do it.
Mr. Challenge, Andrew, the Elk, Kelk, should he have challenged him on the quotes question, regardless?
Well, that's an interesting strategy question. And this is, I will say, a good reason to have those line judges in the back to make those calls. I would say in this particular case, and you know me, I'm a proponent of the challenge, and I love to have it thrown out. If you see an opportunity, you should take it, because usually you won't get another chance to use it. Here's the thing. This may be the one case where I disagree with the idea of throwing out a challenge. For one, you build up some good vibes with all the fans if you're nice to your opponent. For another thing, it sounds like Brad, who's probably going to be one of the people judging this question, is already leaning towards giving the points to your opponent. So a challenge may or may not do anything here. And the only time to consider holding your challenge back is in the first round, especially in a five-round match. Normally, I say you're probably not going to get a chance to use this challenge again. But in a five-round championship-level match, you very well may need that in round three, round four, or round five particularly. There's a lot of important points to be made up. So I think that is a missed opportunity if you use your challenge too early. In the end, it doesn't matter. The line judges make the call. And in this category and this category only, movie quotes, where specificity is so important, I think that's the right call for the judges to make. In another category, not a movie title, not a movie quote, maybe there's some leeway, maybe kind of a they knew it kind of response. But in this case, I don't think so. Another missed opportunity for Mr. J.C. Riefenberg in round number one. First question out is about the Mos Eisley Cantina, and you do not plug your own establishment. I know you'd already done it, but you have to do it again. That's the exact time to talk about scavenability. J.C., what are you doing?
Let's move into round number two. 9-7 up. JC decides to go first, spins first. Attack of the Clones comes up, decides to take it, and does this idea that we've kind of been getting across all season, this idea of holding your throw, goes 8-for-8. The position that Padme holds, Senator, how many poisonous arc throw pods are released into her bedroom, two, and what is the name of the planet that the clones are created on Kamino, and then who is Count Dooku's learner, Qui-Gon Jinn, 8-for-8, really putting the pressure on Sonny, having to come back, having to hold his own throw as well, which he does in the category of Solo, who plays Beckett, Woody Harrelson, who provides the voice for Rio Durant, is Jon Favreau, and what's the name of the droid, L337, and then finally, what is the instrument that Beckett wants to play or wants to learn how to play this Vala chord? 17-15, we're still in the same kind of place that we were after round one, Ross. But I'd say from Sonny's point of view, he's shaking off kind of the miss and he's still kind of feeling okay in himself.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was from a first rounder's perspective. I definitely think there was the right call was to challenge there, especially because Brad was asking. Brad didn't I wouldn't say he was leaning one way or another. He was asking because he had no damn clue as to whether or not it was the right call. Because, and I think he was taking it from a bit of a Star Wars perspective and wasn't thinking about the fact that, oh, it's Quote's question. And that's the reason that was kind of probably what was told into his ear. It was like, hey, it's Quote's question. That's your out on this one. That's the reason why we can't award the points there. But when round two came around, yeah, it was fully shaken off from Sonny's perspective. He viewed it as, okay, I still have plenty of time left in the game. Being able to still play perfect between those two, it's kind of what I expected to see between the two of them. They both played well enough in the first round that the questions in round two weren't necessarily any more difficult. I mean, you just mentioned some of the solo questions there. Three of those are directly from first page of IMDb. You can know those answers. And that's pretty weak for a second round level of questions. However, the Valacord is, I can guarantee you that's been asked in the MTS before and would have been a very valid question when it was asked in the MTS. And so I think that kind of maybe evens things out a little bit, but in that same vein, it made sense for them to still be pretty neck and neck at this point and to not have to have any kind of issues per se. And at this point, Sonny is still in it.
Andrew, fight with me for a second. I am starting to come around to the opinion that in the specific divisions, IG and Star Wars, you go first if you have a lead and really kind of ram it home. Whereas in singles and teams, there's maybe a little bit more variation to the play that you can kind of take into account. What do you think of that?
I think that the wheel spin might be one of the most underappreciated elements of the strategy in the game. When to spin and when to keep, what you're looking for, what you want to give to your opponents. There's a lot of thought to be put in here. In fact, Keith, at some point, I'm sure we could sit down, and Chris would love this. We could do an entire show just talking about various situations with the wheel and what somebody might want to do. I noticed both competitors, when they spun their wheel, they may have been putting on a bit of Hollywood for us, but they both hemmed and hawed and said, I don't know for sure about this category. And then they ended up keeping it anyway, which is very, very interesting to me. I don't know what the strategy is there. As far as going first, I say you're pretty safe with the wheel as long as your opponent is close to your score, because you're going to come out and you're going to figure out where you are one way or the other. I think if you have any kind of a lead, you need to spin the wheel first. You need to push your lead and you need to try and make sure you're as far away as possible. Make your opponent come to you. Make them make mistakes. Make them stutter and stumble. I imagine some people might argue that you want to see what your opponent can do so you can know when you can check down to multiple choice. And again, this is what makes the wheel such a hard thing to determine. I think you are correct, however, Keith, in Star Wars, in the type of matchup with the type of competitors who you think are probably not going to miss. And when they do, it's going to be very rare. I think putting up those points first and putting the pressure on your opponent is much more important, because you want them to have every opportunity to make that mistake that you can capitalize on. So I would say I will agree with you on this one. I think in these matches where the knowledge is so deep, it's so locked up that, yes, you do probably want to spin first in most situations. I will also say, as a casual fan myself, I'm going to steal from you, Ross, because I only steal from the best. I can confirm I know nothing about Star Wars, and you're probably right about the difficulty of these questions, because I've seen one of these movies once and one of them twice and neither one recently, and I still could have gone 5-8 without much difficulty here.
Yeah, I will say, kind of on top of all that, what was I just about to say? I guess you can have to cut that part out. Sorry.
No, it's quite all right. Take a moment if you can think of it.
Yeah, what were you just saying?
Spin the wheel first. Spin.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Andrew was agreeing with me for the first time in a few weeks. Yeah.
Well, it happens once in a while.
It does.
Yeah. So what I will say about spinning first is the gold leader versus Burkett match. That's, I think, one of a clean way to defend the notion of, well, Burkett, if he had gone for it with the right information, it changes the way that the game goes. And that is something that can't be underestimated in terms of how that can be taken into view as to whether you go first or second with the wheel.
No, that's a fair point, Ross. And I suppose, CB, looking at the wheel itself, 6 of the 10 available slices were movies. And as the leader of the Make Solo 2 Happen fan club, you must have been happy to answer a few questions in that category.
I'm definitely not the leader. Ross's teammate on the Den's one of the leaders with Lacey.
Yes, she is.
This is one thing I was thinking about. Like, obviously, they both took specific movies, right? And that the wheel was made up of movie slices, and then I think they had obviously the opponents and Spinner's Choice. Was it Planets and
Planets, Quotes, Small Planets, Screen, yeah. Star Wars, and Jedi Order rounded out the 10 slices.
But definitely for obviously these guys that are competing at this level, like obviously like Ross has and like JC and everyone, you got if you spin one of the films, that's you got to take it, because surely you're all Star Wars fans for a reason. You've watched all these films, and you're probably gonna find the questions there. They may be a bit more deeper cuts than maybe the Jedi Order, but you know, it spins around. It's trade. Jedi Order could be about anything. So yeah, that's it makes perfect sense to me. The only one thing I want to say about the spinners and opponent's choice, for me, in these, especially in these title matches for Star Wars, but maybe in just Star Wars division in general, I don't really see the point. Because I'm pretty sure, like, if you spin opponent's choice, you're still going to know most of the stuff off every category anyway. You know, you're going to get through it. So no matter what your opponent gives you. So I just think maybe just scrap them from these Star Wars titles matches, or even the Star Wars division, and just put in two extra slices maybe of, I don't know, well, we could have the TV slice, or, you know, specific Mandalorians, or just putting. So I just don't see the benefit of spinners and opponent's choice, because most of these guys just know at least enough to navigate around to from no matter what category anyway.
And I suppose, Ross, to that point, Thomas against Goal Leader, he got opponent's choice and was given mixed bag, I want to say, and still got 10 out of 10. So to CB's point, like, you're prepared. So is there a need?
Yeah, it really, it depends on whether or not you like to stay focused in a particular lane, or whether or not you're okay with kind of scattershot thinking. And it really can depend. We've seen tremendous range in mixed bag type questions, and that has been good and bad. And some of them are like almost on the verge of legends in some cases. We've seen some legends ones in some cases find their way in. But that's something that I think you really need to keep that in mind when opponents and spinners are. I think they should stay. I guess that's the simplest way I'm trying to say it is I think they should stay. When you're a player and you're in the specific moment, there might be something that you have a preference to want to answer. I know that having spinners is nice. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the questions you want by any bloody means, but there's always a movie that can be fresher in your mind than another movie. And that can be hugely important. And there is levels of strategy that you can try to pick up on. They're way harder to find in Star Wars as to what you maybe want to assign your opponent. And that's where Gold Leader was kind of taking a shot, because he didn't have a ton of evidence of Thomas missing things. So that's why let's go with mixed bag and let's see if they can maybe throw in a question that is just weird. Just doesn't make sense. It doesn't align with the rest of them. But that's something that I would want to keep them in, just purely for the fact that it's a little less predictable heading into that round. And it also, from a momentum perspective, you don't want to get opponent's choice. You don't want your opponent to have the decision. And
unless you're Nick Carley.
Yeah. And then there are also some people where you look at older players. And I shouldn't say that. I'm not talking about old players. I'm just talking about people who are a little older than me.
Let's go with veterans.
No. I mean specifically people who are older than me. Because I grew up, yes, with maybe about a 2-year period of loving the original trilogy from when I was like 3 to 5. And then by the time I was 5, The Phantom Menace was out. And so now I had 4 movies to watch. And so, but there are people in the Star Wars division who had a decade or 5 or 6 years or 7 years of their prime childhood where they just watched the 3 movies. And so maybe they have an advantage in the original trilogy over somebody else who's only been into Star Wars for 6 years, but is absolutely like Laura Kelly, for example, has not been a huge Star Wars fan her entire life. No one in their right mind is going to doubt Laura Kelly's capabilities in Star Wars. But Laura Kelly made her strengths. If Rebels were added in, we would all never give her Rebels in a million years, because she's a known Rebels fan. And so things like that need to be taken into consideration and maybe can hide their skill sets. Whereas, like, the Lacey and Hoeys of the world, they can't hide that they love Solo either.
Well, listen, thankfully, spinners and opponents wasn't a factor in round two, nor was it in round three. A New Hope is spin. They both bet three. The question being, what is Luke's call sign as an X-Wing pilot in the Battle of Yavin? I want to say that is. Red five. Both bet three, both get three. And we're literally where we are after round one. It's 2018, still the two-point gap. Andrew, like, it's all on this fourth round. Surely Sonny must be thinking, this is where I need to move now.
I mean, if I'm Sonny and I'm coming to this point in the matchup, I am thinking perhaps, and you can tell me that you think I'm nuts, Keith, because I often think of things that you don't. We don't always get along, but I'm thinking if I'm Sonny in this position, there's one thought and one thought only in my mind, and that's obviously going to be, well, beyond the basic speed round. Basic speed round is answer everything you can, pass when you need to. I think he played it well, good passes, took his time when he could, but tried to get the answers in quick, answered everything he knew as fast as possible. But if I'm Sonny, my goal in the speed round is not to outperform my opponent. My goal in the speed round is to stay about even. If I can keep a two-point gap behind my opponent, then a missed three, a missed two, or a missed five, any one of the third round, fifth round questions being missed by my opponent means I'm in position to either tie and move to sudden death, or I'm in position to take the lead outright and win the match. I'm not worried about catching my opponent because he's going to have to make a miss somewhere. And if he's going to make the miss here, he's going to make it no matter what my attitude is. If he's going to make the miss in the next round, there's nothing I can do about it right now. For me, if I'm Sonny going into this round and down 2 points, my primary concern is not making more points. It's losing less. Don't answer incorrectly. Don't say something you're not sure of. Don't give your opponent a larger gap. Don't remove that two. Don't remove that three as questions that can get you the win or the tie. Make sure you get as close as you can. Now, all that being said, it boils down to the same thing. Answer as many questions as you can and play it well. And Sonny does that well here. In fact, both players do that well. And I'm very interested to hear what Ross is going to have to say about this, because we talked about the earlier rounds having some maybe lower difficulty questions. Two very smart players both miss a number of these questions, including classic Loki himself, Richard E. Grant, doesn't get answered by either player. Pretty interesting round all the way around. But yeah, my strategy is just get the points I can and try not to lose any if I'm Sonny. I'm looking for my opponent to make a mistake, not to take the win myself.
So listen, let's break down this speed round. They both go 4-for-4 in their first. Owen's occupation being a moisture farmer. Dennis Lawson is the actor who plays Wedge Antilles. Yoda is the person who says, "Twilight is upon me and soon night must fall." And then it's Obi-Wan's Force ghost that Luke sees in Dagobah. Sonny passes on the "which arm does Anakin lose in Attack of the Clones?" JC gets that right. JC then gets the next one wrong, which is, "what does Sidious say Yoda is blinding him?" He says the dark side. Sonny says arrogance. Arrogance being the correct answer here. They both then get the next two, which of the Skywalker twins is born first? Luke. And then who tells Rey never to underestimate her droid? Leia. JC getting this in right on the buzzer. And then Andrew, to your point, neither answered the last two. What Oscar nominated actor played General Pride? Richard E. Grant. And then who composed the score for Solo? John Powell. Ross, what were your thoughts as you were kind of watching this live or on the replay? Like, were you surprised that there were so many passes in between? Or was it just a sense of, like, these guys are just not used to doing this at the moment?
I thought it was just a very formidable speed round. There were good questions. There's just only so much time. And you could tell that the first time they had to pass, in particular Sonny, the first time he had to pass, he wasn't happy with himself. And it really kind of resonates, and they have that short amount of time. Like, do I try to rack my brain to pull the answer I think I know, or do I pass and not
hope to come back?
Also, yeah, hope to come back, but also not ding myself by making a wrong guess. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of things that if you don't necessarily have preparation time for, or you haven't prepared a ton for, that can be a lot. That can be a lot to digest. And it makes sense that if you're going to get rattled, that it's maybe going to have a bit of a trickle effect, because you don't get a really a recovery period. And so I'll be honest that the question writing, the questions are all really well written. But when it comes to a difficulty level, they were a little bit softer up until this point. And I'll be just flat out, not to be rude, but the betting round question was that's a disaster of a question. That's the easiest question I've ever heard, maybe. maybe not as bad as who voices C-3PO, but other than that, these were really, really good questions. And when you're coming off of questions that aren't as hard as your speed, like the speed round questions were some of the harder or some harder questions. And that can throw somebody off in that short amount of time. And so I was impressed with the composure that they kept in that regard. JC was able to retain his lead and he made some smart decisions to do said passes. And I was also impressed with the question writing because they were really good for the amount of time that he had. I thought it was just really, really good question writing in this round.
Yeah. Good punchy questions. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's 26-25 CB after the speed round. Obviously, JC bleeds once, but he doesn't bleed twice enough that Sonny can get by. And I suppose this is the difference between a round one question getting your 15 seconds and realistically a speed round question where, yes, it's probably 6 seconds a question, but Brad's going to take up 3, maybe 4 of those have to ask it to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I'm under no illusions. I think both these guys, the questions that they did get wrong, I think if it had been any other round, they probably would have pulled them, I would think. I mean, Ross was right, though. The difficulty jumped up massively, and he's also right. That round question was insane. Oh, sorry, I can't believe that's the easiest 3 points you're going to find anywhere in any movie trivia. But no, I just think the difficulty did jump up so much, and this is kind of a question I wanted to ask all you guys. I mean, do you guys think that they need to find some sort of balance where, because it is a speed round, the questions probably should be more on the easier side than maybe the round two questions? I mean, because some of these questions I thought were more difficult than any of those round two questions they had. So, I don't know. What do you guys think, really?
I think that I would agree with that normally. I would think maybe... I mean, Richard E. Grant, because he's so in the news recently with Loki, otherwise I would think maybe that's a little bit deep of a cut, but I mean, he still is. Yes, we're talking about a very well-known actor who's had a lot of success in particular recently too. But I think more so maybe the previous rounds could catch up to this. I mean, it's still easier than a speed round in the MTS, but I think that that's something that will come with a little bit more practice. And I think overall it's the right level of difficulty. And I think it maybe everything else should kind of align to that level. Cause I think it was really spot on, based on the way that the questions could be asked. And there have been really great questions in a lot of these matches and in this match as well. It's just, there's sometimes it's like, oh, maybe a really hard one would have been good here as opposed to an easy one.
Yeah.
I think CB, if we could jump off that, like if we look at it kind of from a stats point of view, this is the fourth Star Wars match that the FCL has done. Like if we look back to week two, when we're breaking down Iman Frost against Sherlock Podolia, I'm sure like we're throwing our hands up on the rewatch being like, oh, this is so easy. Why are they asking this? True. Why are they? You know, and like if we've seen now that like the singles division is getting tougher and tougher. So like they need to find their footing.
Yeah.
And I think like, there's still a, like, listen, I'll be honest with you, there's 34 questions asked here. I knew 8. All right, I knew 8 questions of this. So if every third question is tough for me, but I think that there's a certain level of like, the more that they do it, the harder it will get also.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe we change this entire conversation if one of the questions from round 4 is flopped with red 5. Maybe that changes everything. We realize like, oh, they scored a little bit better in round 4, and then that wasn't such a bad round 3. So who knows? But then it also comes down to perspective. And call signs in general are a really easy thing to get mixed up with. That's not one of them, though, generally people get mixed up with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is the second speed round that we've seen. Sorry, Keith, in the FCL, and you we were asking about it, and I gotta say, I agree with Ross. I thought the question writing was pretty on point. Decent difficulty without any of them being too hard. Which in a speed round, maybe you throw one curveball in there to make people have to pass and come back to it, something like that. But I thought the difficulty level was good, and kudos to the question writers on the, as I said, the brevity, the punchiness of these questions above everything. Because I noticed in that first title match that we saw, it was taking so much time for Brad just to get through the questions as written that there was barely time for someone to pass and come back. And in the speed round, it's essential that your questions be easily deliverable, short, quick and to the point, and I thought they did an amazing job here. And if that's the first thing they fix before they get perhaps some of these mild balance issues that we're concerned about out of the way, I say this is the right move for the Quest Reddick team, and they've handled it perfectly well. As far as changing anything about the speed round, I legitimately think this is one of the most strategically interesting rounds that there is. I don't think you want to make it too difficult. I think they've struck a really, really great balance here. And as you said, Ross, maybe taking one of these questions, perhaps the Richard E. Grant question, perhaps something else from this round, and switching it out with the Red 5 question.
John Powell, they both passed on that, I think, right?
Although, point to subjective difficulty, I would have gotten Richard E. Grant and not gotten Red 5, so it's not a gimme for everybody. But like I said, I think this is a really, really well-balanced speedrun. Everything goes well. And to the point that I made earlier, I said, let your opponent make the mistakes. What happens? Sonny passes on all the questions that he doesn't know the answer to. He doesn't risk any points. Riefenberg gets one incorrect, dropping himself a point and putting himself in even better striking distance, because I'd rather be at a one-point gap than a two-point gap going into the final round for sure.
Let's get into the fifth and final round, the championship round. Olsen's 2, in quotes, who tells Anakin you can't stop the change any more than the sun's from setting? Shmi Skywalker. JC replies with his 2 in the category of Empire. What famous 2-word answer does Han give to Leia after she tells him she loves him? I know. Comes back to the 3 on Sonny. Villains. What is the name of the criminal organization seen confronting Han Solo about deaths he owes in The Force Awakens? The Kanji Club, I believe, is what it's called. Apologies if I get that mispronunciated. Back to JC on the 3, A New Hope. Who designs the attack strategy on the Death Star and briefs the pilots? General Yann Dodana. Again, apologies if I've said that incorrectly. And then it's down on the 5s, as all Star Wars fights pretty much end up in. Return of the Jedi, what kind of droid does C-3PO see being tortured by EV-99 in Jabba's palace? Sonny says protocol droid, and then Brad calls Anya a winner. And then there's a little bit of like a bit of a timeout. Is there a challenge potentially? The answer being a gunk droid. He decides to challenge on the basis, and Ross, please forgive me if I've got this wrong. One droid is being tortured and one is being pulled apart or something in the scene. And that's kind of where the mix-up in the answer is, I believe.
Yeah, so in the scene, you've got one droid being just disintegrated and just yanked apart in the corner. And you have another droid that is upside down being like branded and tortured in that regard. And it's the protocol droid that's being disintegrated, and it's the gonk droid or the power droid that's being branded. And D. Milanta lost to Ace on who is the droid doing the torturing. And it's 8D8. And that's also EV-99, who they're asking about, is the supervisor. And so he's not directly torturing anybody, but he's overseeing all the torturing. And so under those circumstances, he can be considered torturing two different droids. And it, ultimately, it's a fantastic challenge for that purpose, because the question left it open for Sonny's mind to go to the protocol droid, which, although I think logically, if you view that scene, is not the droid anyone's going to think you're talking about. But because the way the question's written, it's 100% still the correct answer, because EV-99 is not directly torturing anybody, but is responsible for all the torturing that's going on here, and a protocol droid is being tortured. So I think it was a really smart move, Sonny remembering the scene right. I was happy to see the right call being made on that.
Challenge is put on the field, decides to get a new question. Again, we're still in Return of the Jedi. What is the destination of the shuttle carrying Darth Vader to the Death Star at the beginning of Return of the Jedi? Sonny uses his repeats, gets it down. ST-217 is said. He's 104 out. The correct answer being ST-321. And your winner, 31-30, JC Reifenberg, the first and inaugural FCL Star Wars champion. And Andrew, it has to be said, very, very much improved in his first match and rightly deserving of the title.
Well, I mean, JC is looking very good in this match, and I've got to say, if for nothing else than the synergy, then the absolute perfect placement of it all, that belt will look very good in the Scum and Villainy Cantina, right above the bar, where he can tell people, that's right, I'm the champ when it comes to Star Wars. Very, very well deserved by him. I want to talk about a friend of the show, however, Sonny Olsen was on our show. And not only is he a friend of the show, but from watching this round number three, I've got to say, clearly he's a fan of the show. And he listens to the pundits on this program who know what they're talking about. What do we see here? We see good use of the JTE rules. Take all the time you can. And he gets razor close to it. We see a challenge in round number five, the championship round, the end of the match. You use your challenge when the opportunity arises. And I think he didn't go quite far enough, maybe even push on Brad. No, there was a protocol droid being tortured in that. I shouldn't have to answer another question. Really, really fight for those extra points, but maybe he doesn't have that killer instinct in him just yet. That said, if you watched my match against Robert Parker in Harry Potter, you know I love a challenge in the final round, even a bad challenge in the final round. Yes, I'll admit it. My challenge was no good. I love the fact that Sonny took his time. He took the speed round correctly. Get the points you can. Don't take any risks, especially when you're behind. He takes the challenge in this round. He goes ahead and he uses every single one of his JTEs. The truth of the matter is Sonny impressed me incredibly with his gameplay today, and it's just by a razor-thin margin, a barely not there answer, a little mistake here and there, and those are the kind of things that can happen to anybody. So well played by him. But on the other side, congratulations, well-deserved. I would love to talk about the strategy that JC employed in this match. I'd love to say he did this and I liked that. He did this and I didn't like that. But the truth of the matter is JC came in here and he did exactly what he needed to do. He answered questions, he got ahead, he stayed ahead, and he never stopped. That's all you can do. And when you're doing that, there's not a lot of strategy to talk about. If your strategy is take the lead and stick, then you've got it set in. The only problem with that strategy, of course, being it's real easy to have it fail.
CB, I suppose this is a real sort of a example of a player who's there's limited tape on. And so all you can look at is their only match and be like, okay, I think I can get them there, or I think I can get them there. But JC was solid in the pocket and got the job done.
Yeah, he was fantastic. And he's like, he just shows that, you know, he knows his stuff and he knows what he's doing. Like I said, we've got no real tape on him, apart from that really old tape of some game show he was on that we saw on his first match. But yeah, no, he was fantastic. So was Sonny. I think Sonny's probably got the edge when it comes to the gameplay, much like kind of Andrew was saying, sort of thing about the actual game, you know. Kind of like I said in the first round, JC, for me, you challenge that all day. Round three, Sonny does do the challenge. You know, that's just the thing. If you're unsure whether, because it looked like Sonny was kind of unsure whether he should challenge. But, you know, if you're unsure whether you should challenge, there's obviously something there that makes you think, I could challenge. What you got nothing to lose. Just especially on your 5-point question, take the challenge and go for it. But no, like you said, JC, very impressed with him. Well deserved champion, to be honest. I wonder if our guest today, whether he was in this match, he would if JC would still be walked out as champion.
Question.
I'm not gonna say yes or no, but I'm gonna. I would maybe have to make some room behind me on my shelf. That's all.
Well, listen. After 5 rounds, 34 questions, and a final score of 31-30, JC Reifenberg is the inaugural FCL Star Wars champion. And with that, let's look forward to what's going to happen next week in the FCL.
All right. Well, with all that broken down, JC Reifenberg is your new champion, your Star Wars champion, the first ever in the FCL. That's right. And Star Wars is back on the shelf for now. Not as lovely as a shelf as you have behind you, Ross, with all that beautiful memorabilia. But Star Wars will return. That said, next week in the FCL is what we're going to focus on now. We're going to talk about everything that's upcoming. And if Star Wars was the specialty this week, then next week it's going to be wrestling as we kick things off with a wrestling exhibition match. A little bit of a cross promotion with Reality of Wrestling. Brad Gilmore does some great work over there as well. Should be an interesting matchup. And I will say we're going to get some quick opinions, but we don't know a lot about this match. We don't know the format. We don't know at this moment who all of the competitors involved are going to be. So we're going to leave that one sit, and it should be an interesting one to break down next week. Any quick thoughts on the wrestling exhibition match? Let's ask Ross. Ross, what do you think of this?
No, very, very little about it, but it's something that is extremely Brad. He is such a creative mind when it comes to these different kind of opportunities to do cross promotion, and I'm sure he'll be able to bring a ton of energy for this one. So I think it's great. I think it's another opportunity to get new fans in, and Brad, I have all the faith in his capabilities of doing that. He has certainly shown his craftiness in that regard.
Keith, watching this matchup, will you be slipping on the spandex and oiling up with the baby oil wrestling exhibition match, FCL 18? What do you got to say?
Listen, I'll just echo what I said last week. I think it's a smart play. Anything that can kind of get more eyes on both kind of products is good. Let's find new fans. Let's get them into the FCL. Let's get them into the MTS. And then hopefully they like what they see and stick around for this main event and more.
Well, Chris Barnes, will come to you last. And you are a man who I can say a few things about. Number one is you thought this show was going to go short because we only had one match to talk about. I showed him. I know how to talk, don't I, folks? And you've got this wrestling exhibition match coming up. Are you a wrestling fan? Old school? New school? What do you think of this one, Chris?
So if the questions in this match are based on wrestling for a few short years in the late 90s, then, you know, I'll probably know some of the stuff they're talking about because I was mad on it for a few years, dropped off of it a couple of years ago, started watching again slightly, but just didn't really get back into it. So I don't really know much about what's going on with wrestling nowadays, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a smart idea, like the guys have said, you know, bit of cross-promotion, and it's exciting just to see, it's nice to see the FCL trying different things, you know, and putting different kind of matches out there, you know, and trying things out that, you know, never know, one day maybe the MTS itself will be inclined to put some of these matches out there.
Well, wrestling is certainly an influence on the movie Trivia Schmodown. Obviously, the storylines, the characters, that all came from wrestling with Christian Harloff initially. And I grew up watching The Undertaker lock Jake the Snake in a casket, scarred me for life. But that means I'm a wrestling fan of the old school. I love this. I can't wait to see the match and what kind of questions will be answered, what eras we're hearing them from. Either way, it's going to be a good one. But we've got another match that's going to be of a little more interest to everybody who's an FCL fan. Some of you may not be wrestling fans, but everyone's going to be a fan of this one. And since we are talking about the wrestling exhibition, it's right at the end of the show where I can risk my voice. Let me see if I can do my best Macho Man Randy Savage for this one.
Ooh, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a main event caliber matchup coming your way in the FCL. We've got the Dynasty, David Campbell, going up against Vanessa Fitzsimmons. She's a classy lady. She knows a lot about movies. Who's going to come out with the W?
Keith?
I think that's fantastic. CB, please clip that. Please clip that. I was researching these two's record this season, and Vanessa has gone under the radar completely in the sense that we have been waxing lyrical about Robert Montano and his career and has only missed one question. Spoiler alert, Vanessa's only missed one question in two matches this year. David, as he alluded to on the Spotlight series with you, Andrew, this week, may I say a great conversation you guys had, has missed four. I'm not saying that David can't. I just think that the stats say Vanessa will.
All right. Well, we do have a limited number of matches to work from, but as it stands right now, you heard it from our very own stats expert, Keith Kilduff, it will be Vanessa Fitzsimmons if the numbers hold. That said, like I said, only a couple matches for each of them to really determine what's going on. Who knows if they're going to deviate from the mean. Ross, what do you think is going to happen in this matchup? And will you pick a winner?
I don't know. This is actually going to be a really close one, like you just said. I mean, these are two very good competitors, some of the best in the FCL. And so I remember last time I was on and I did pick a winner, and I'm not going to pick a winner because that person did not win their next match. And so I will not pick a winner for this, but best of luck to both of them. I think it will be a really close one either way. I really think this is going to be one of the closer matches and could be one of the better matches in terms of accuracy in the last little bit. I think David's ready to reprove something.
Certainly should be interesting to see him coming back with, as you said, something to prove. David Campbell, who's a wonderful competitor and was quite a treat on that Spotlight series. Remember to check that out on our channel, folks. David, the Dynasty Campbell is speaking with, oh, that's right, it's me, Andrew the Outkelk, about the FCL and everything he's got going on, including his new upcoming film. That's an interesting one. Check that one out. Vanessa Fitzsimmons, David Campbell. I personally think this may be, with the build behind it, one of the biggest matches we've seen in the FCL, because both legitimately dangerous championship level contenders. CB, what do you think? And I'm going to hold you to it. You're on this show. You have to give an answer. Who's going to win?
We're all going to win. watching this match. Because as you said, they are two of potentially could be one of the best matches we've seen. And yeah, yeah, they're both 1-1. Both their defeats came at the hands, one of Nick Harley and one of and Vanessa was Kofi Outlaw, I believe. So yeah, the people that were in that title match are the two the matches they've lost. Campbell did very well against Cooper Barnes. Vanessa, from right, she defeated Chattelbash in her first match, I believe, and she did very well there. And as Keith said, Chattelbash is the best player without a win in the FCL. So I don't know whether he still believes that or not, but we'll see. But obviously, they're tough stuff. They've shown their stuff. Keith's got the stats on Vanessa. Missed one question in two matches. And if someone's done that and they've got a 1-1 record, you've got to think, you know, what their opponent's doing. But obviously, Kofi got himself to that final title match. So, yeah, do you know what? I'm going to go with David Campbell. There you go. I've given you a name. I've jumped off my fence, and that's only because he's like a fellow Brit, so.
All right, well, he's off the fence, and he's made his call. The stake is in the ground, and he's called his shot. That's right. David Campbell is the winner pick for Chris Barnes. It will be an amazing matchup championship level, as we said. Vanessa flying under the radar, since Robert Montano is in the forefront for everybody else. David, the Dynasty Campbell, will the Dynasty rise? He has a record that does not reflect, and in this case, I mean it. He only loses to the best when it comes to FCL competition. My co-host, I was rough on him. I made them choose a winner, and we're going to have a great match coming up for you next week. As Chris said before he did make his pick, we're all going to be winners when we watch this one. And as for my pick about who's going to win, you can find out all about that when you tune in next week on This Week in the FCL. Once again, it's been a pleasure having you join us here on This Week in the FCL. We love it when you join us. Please feel free to drop a comment on our video. Hit that like, subscribe. Hell, share us with a friend. Anyone else you know who's watching the FCL and not checking us out, feel free to share that content. But as always, we just hope that you come back, that you keep enjoying the show, just like you keep enjoying all the wonderful competitors from the FCL. We're on our way out. I am, of course, Andrew the Elk Kelk. You can find me online at Kelk Andrew. And we have some other wonderful, wonderful fellows, some pundits, and one competitor who all have some things they're doing online, and I'm sure they'd love to tell you where you can find them. Let's start with our very own stats man, Keith.
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at KClove Media, and please do check out the Opening Pair YouTube channel where we break down sports, movies, and anything else that kind of comes into our mind. CB, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at ChrisBarnes_UK and the Movie Barnes on Instagram, where I kind of review, recommend movies amateurly. Go and check it out. It's all right. Ross, our guest, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Ross from Nowhere. I pretty much only tweet Let's Mowdown and very, 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 very rarely. So I also have a podcast, Recorder 66, way behind on YouTube, but our podcast comes up every week on wherever you find podcasts. So that's where you can find me.
And you can check all of that out. You can check us out online. And you can check out this very show, if you haven't already, on all of your favorite podcast platforms. That's right. We are available as a podcast. And based on our global numbers, Chris Barnes tells me we've got some very interesting international listeners. That's a conversation we'll have to have someday. That being said, it is in the books another week for This Week in the FCL, another week for the FCL. So let's go right ahead and get on out of here. Thank you once again for joining us, fans. We love all of you. We're sending you all our best. And once again, finally, just to reiterate, a big, big hope you're feeling better. Hope everything goes well to James Shimo and his family at this moment. The community, please feel free to reach out and let Shimo know you are also sending him your well wishes. I'm sure they would do well in this time. Thank you once again, fans, and we'll see you next week on This Week in the FCL.